So can I get a witness?
Amen.
Yeah, okay. That's great. So we're about 20 minutes earlier than I usually get the podium, but that's okay. Good for us. If I announced last week that we had a guest speaker come, and she is with us tonight, I don't have to go out in the Pansy, will you come? We haven't forgotten the children. We're in for a treat, and I'm looking forward to hearing what Pansy has to say. So I want to pray for you and then give you the time. Father in heaven, we thank you for Pansy and her love for you. Thank you for the purity of heart she has in her relationship with you and with others. Bless her tonight. Give her clarity of thought. Just give her peace that goes beyond her expectancy or understanding so that she can communicate the message that you've given her. Bless her abundantly and each of us as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Are children ready for a children's lesson? Hi.
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 How are you?
Good.
So, tell me, have you ever been on a team or in a club or a dance troupe? What have you done in the team? Dancing?
Play basketball.
Basketball? Okay. Are you in a club?
Yeah.
And
I do RAs. Well, use now, and then I used to be.
Okay. All right. So you all know what it's like to be in a group, and in a group that has a focus to play soccer, to be in RAs, dance. And when you're in that group, you're all working for the same thing, right? You want to win, or you want to accomplish whatever you're supposed to learn, or you want to get ready for a good performance, right? Okay, so you have teammates. How do you want your teammates to treat you? Nicely. What if you mess up? You want them to go, oh, come on. What do you want them to say? Can you talk a little louder? Okay. Maybe let's practice again. I'll help you. Well, come on, we can do it. We cheer for each other, encourage each other. Okay. Are you a good teammate? You think so? Depends who's on your team. Oh, okay. Okay, so what happens when your teammates don't treat you very nice? What?
Treat others how you
want to be treated. Even when they're mean to you? So sometimes you're like quitting?
Yeah.
Okay, so sometimes it's a challenge, right? To be on a team. Well, how do you think God would want you to be as a teammate? Kind of respectful.
Encouraging.
Okay. Encouraging. Nice, even when they're mean to you. All right. Some of you guys have this down pat up here. Is it always easy to do?
No.
Okay. But you have the concept and you can work on the practice, right? Okay. Well, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for these children. And I thank you that they know the golden rule. They know how you want them to live. And I just pray that you would help them to put that into practice, that they can be good teammates and they can be examples of teammates that love you and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Okay, some logistics here. While I'm fixing this, you can open your Bibles or your Bible apps to Ephesians. Chapter 5. Give you a minute to find that. Okay, so just to get the setting and everything of what we're going to look at tonight, I'm going to start with chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And then last week, I'm going to read verses that you talked about last week, 18 to 21, the second half of verse 18. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Okay, so what I want to point out here is in those last verses, 18 to 21, we're told to be filled with the Spirit. And then if we look at the words that follow, if we look for the verb, it's an interesting sequence here. Speak to one another, sing and make music, submit to one another. It's all a result of being filled with the Spirit. So then, that's the principle that we're going to look at tonight. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Sometimes people cringe when they hear that word submit. And so this passage gets a bad rap. But to get a handle on what submit means, those of you that want to, that have your phones, I want you to Google antonym of submit. Do you have that? Okay, start calling out some of those antonyms of submit.
Defy.
Okay, do roll that one. Defy, okay.
Withdraw.
Withdraw.
Resist.
Resist. You have others? I have a whole list here when I Googled it.
Capitulate.
How about contradict, refuse, defend, deny, disagree, disapprove, dispute, fight, protest, reject, straighten, veto, win, conceal, hide, resist? Okay, that's the opposite of submit. Okay, does that get your mind thinking about why we should submit to one another? The whole team concept doesn't work if the team members are contradicting each other or disagreeing or disapproving or protesting. Okay? So this overriding principle, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Notice the other, regard the other, honor the other, prefer, esteem, admire, respect. Okay? And it says submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So this is how we have unity in the church as believers. This is how we get along with each other in a way that honors God. And this is how life is easier, more enjoyable. So with that as our overriding principle, let's look at the next section of verses. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Does that sound like a tangled mess? Kind of. We have Christ and the church, we have husband and wife, back and forth, back and forth. So let's separate it out a little bit, and let's look at Christ and the church. Okay, so we have the church is supposed to submit to Christ, and Christ loved the church. He gave himself through his death and resurrection for the church, for the purpose of presenting the church as a radiant and spotless bride. Then you have on the other side, husbands and wives. Wives are supposed to submit to their husbands using the definition that we've already talked about. Husbands are to love their wife as themselves. And that there's a reference from Genesis, you know, a man shall leave his father and mother and become one. So if they're one, he should love the wife as himself. And the husband is to devote himself to his wife for her good. That's what Christ does for the church. So when we see it separated a little bit, it becomes a little bit clearer, I think. And the interesting thing is sometimes we think, well, and the wife is an example of Christ in the church. But I read something that I thought was interesting. It said the profound truth of the union of Christ and his bride, the church, is beyond human understanding. It is not that the husband-wife relationship provides an illustration of that union, but that the basic reality is that marriage is a human echo of that relationship. An echo, you know, it's down the line, it's not clear, like, you know, there's still a mystery. Yes, it does reflect that, but nowhere near does it match the relationship of Christ and the church. Okay, so wasn't that easy? Some of you are aware of all the baggage that comes with that passage. Okay, so this submission then, all also carries on to children and parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Why? What does the rest of the verse say? Verse 2, somebody read that. Who has their Bible open?
Just as you would obey Christ.
Excuse me, I wanted a child to read it. I wanted a child to read it. Renee, Eliza, somebody? Honor?
Ephesians 6:2.
And three. Go ahead, Josiah.
Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. The third one, remember?
Yes.
So that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth.
Okay. So honor your father and mother, obey your parents, not just because they tell you to, but there's a blessing in it. You show respect, you submit to your parents, and there's a promise that it will go well with you. You may enjoy long life on the earth. Sound like a good reason? Okay. Then it talks about fathers. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. How do fathers exasperate their children? Maybe some adults have been exasperated by their fathers. Okay, fathers need to be sensitive to how their children respond to their correction. Different children respond differently, and so some children need a firmer, louder reprimand than others. And it does not mean that you don't train your children in the way they should go, but that you do it with humility and wisdom. Okay. All right, so then it leaves the setting of families, and we're still under this principle of submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It talks about slaves. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and sincerity in your heart. Just as you would obey Christ. I think it's interesting in the Bible that although slavery isn't condoned, when persons come to Christ, they aren't immediately told to get out of whatever situation they're in, but to live for Christ in that situation. So here he's talking to slaves. Obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, just as you would obey Christ. So whatever we're doing, we do it to honor Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when the eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Okay, so we don't just work hard when somebody's watching us, but because we're working for Christ, we do a good job. Whether we're being watched or not, we do it out of our own motivation to honor Christ. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not man, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. So we can talk about employees and employers. Employers, treat your employees in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there's no favoritism with him. So again, treating each other with respect, as if you're on the same team, because in terms of eternal life, we are on the same team. You know, if we're talking about a Christian employer, a Christian employee. We're all on the same team. So let's work together that way. Let's do our best. Okay. I think that's what I wanted to share on that. I wonder if you have any questions or comments on your, how you work out on your view of submission. If not, I've made Carla very happy.
20 minutes.
And I will turn it back over to Earl.
Josiah says, little do you know, Granddad has a sermon too.
Thank you, Pansy, for that introduction to the subject. So that was well done. Thank you. I liked what you did with the antonyms of submission as a way to think about that as being a positive word, not a negative word. Because as I was looking at the definition of submission, it was nafalander. It was, you know, basically lose. Well, that was the definition. And so by looking at the antonyms, we realize that's not Christ-like. And Jesus did submit to what the Father wanted of him and what he asked of him. So I will not ask for a vote tonight on who should be the regular speaker at our evening services. I think it might be a little one-sided and a little bit too fresh in your memories of the contrast. So anyway, thank you, Pansy. Appreciate it, good work. We'll look forward to the full armor of God next week and completing our study in Ephesians. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful that we can come to you knowing that, you showed us through Jesus how you want us to live. And that when your word uses a word, it's a good word, like that word submit. And you don't just want one person to lord it over the other, but submit to one another, love each other. Just as Christ in the church. What a wonderful picture. And I thank you for giving Pansy the eloquent words to communicate it to us tonight. As we go from this place, I pray that we'll go in the power and the joy of your Spirit, and that we will live and put to practice what you are teaching us tonight. We thank you in Jesus' awesome name. Amen. God bless you with an awesome week. Thank you for joining us. Bless those of you on Zoom, too. Thank you for coming in. Have a great week.